Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We have been broadcasting our service since September 6, 1936. Our service today will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
To whom should the church minister? To the young? To the middle-aged? Or to the elderly? I'd like to visit with you about that today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you that you love us all, that you are concerned about us from the cradle to the grave, for your great desire is that we might live with you during the days that we walk here on this earth, and then live with you forever in the kingdom of heaven. Thank you for that, Father. And today we pray that the Holy Spirit will so open our hearts and enlighten our minds that we may be drawn closer to you. For it is in your holy name that we pray. Amen.
Jesus shall reign.
Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the second chapter of 1 Timothy, beginning with verse 3. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, that man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Amigos de Cristo, we're friends of the Lord. Amigos de Cristo, we're friends of the Lord. And we've been restored. Amigos de Cristo, we're friends of the Lord.
Friends of the covenant renewed each morn. Baptized in love and it we've been reborn. Gift of the dove is ours forever.
And we've been restored. Amigos de
friends in Christ, what does God really want with us? Paul answers that question very specifically when he writes to the young man Timothy, God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now that word saved infers that there are those who are not in a living personal relationship with God, and therefore they are not saved. When we begin to talk in these terms, we are facing a situation that causes some people to really get turned off. They either do not want to consider at all that they could be the lost, or they want to dismiss it because it is too offensive to them. If there is such a thing as eternity, some of these people will say, then I'm sure that we're all going to be there. That universalistic type of thinking is very comforting. The only problem is it is not according to Scripture. Let me just quote you a very specific statement. St. Paul writes, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Well, you could ask the question, if God is almighty, and he wants all people to be saved, what hinders him from going after what he wants? And the answer is very simple, that when God created us, he gave us the ability to say to him, no, God, I do not want you. In other words, God wants mankind, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to come to him. And so he challenges the church today to bring the gospel to our society, that men may hear that Jesus Christ loves them, that he suffered and died for them, and that he is anxious to forgive them their sins and to bring them into a personal relationship with their heavenly Father forever. Now that's a very repetitious statement, I know. But still, let's think through this challenge, that we might clearly understand the primary mission that God has given to his church. To whom is this ministry to come? Quite often I hear people say, and I'm glad when I hear them say it, we have to be very concerned about our youth. That's right, we do. We need to follow them. And now when I'm talking about youth, I mean in the broadest sense of the word, from infancy to, let's say, 25 years of age. Our friends will go on to say, after all, they are the church of tomorrow. And I like to say, you're right, they're also the church of today, aren't they? But they will be the leaders in the church tomorrow. So we have to be concerned about them. I have been just simply thrilled at the efforts that some congregations have put forth to take very seriously that we need to minister to the youth of our nation. For example, you go into one congregation after another, and you will find people there on the staff who are youth directors. These are people who have a special love for youth and have tried to learn some of the best ways to reach them with the message of God's holy word. And many of them are doing a fantastic job. In the congregation where I served and where I now worship, they have 3 full-time youth directors plus 2 part-time directors. There's nothing that they will not do to reach and to hold these young people for Jesus Christ. Many congregations are sending their young people on trips, to Bible camps, to conventions, and certainly there's a recreational aspect to it, and there should be. But that's not all. These young people are being confronted on the buses, in the hotel rooms, or wherever they may be, with the truth of God's holy word. When I walk into some of our churches today, I am simply amazed at what has been done for the youth as far as facilities are concerned. They even build gymnasiums. And while this may be used by other members in the congregation, you can be sure that those who are getting the greatest benefit out of it are our youth. We're learning how to have what in our church we call lug groups, where four or five or six young people together with an older person will sit and talk about that individual's relationship with God and his or her problems as they walk through school and life at that tender age. It is simply marvelous to see what is going on in the church when it comes to this matter of youth. We want them as God wants them, to walk with the Savior throughout their life, and then when they grow old and enter eternity, they will spend that time with God in heaven. We want them prepared to meet the temptations of the day. And yet after we have done all of this, we know that that youth has a right to say, no, not now. Maybe later on, but right now I'm not interested, and they walk away. But does that mean that we leave them forever? And when they grow older, as John Ilvesaka says in his great hymn, Born and Cry, not too young and not too old, does the church have a ministry for those people? I think of those who today are 40, 50 years of age. We lost some of them, more than I would like to admit in our own congregation, in the 60s and in the 70s. These people had to go through that perilous time from 1967 to 73, where our nation was engaged in that terrible battle in Vietnam. They saw 58,000 young people killed. They saw another 300,000 wounded, and it made some of them extremely bitter. For some strange reason, when they saw this going on, they didn't want anything to do with the establishment, and they considered the church a part of the establishment, so we got left out of their lives, too. I remember one day, sitting in my office, and here came three of the finest young men that I had ever had in confirmation class. They sat down, and they began to talk. Soon they got very excited, especially one of them, and he said, you know, you really are a hypocrite. First, I thought, that's not a very nice way to talk to your pastor, but I didn't say anything. I decided that maybe I could learn just a little bit from them. And believe me, I did. I learned a great deal from them. For I could see that in my ministry there were many things that were hypocritical, and probably I had not denounced those things firmly enough that the Word of God had said was wrong. These are also the people who lived through the beginning of the feminist movement. And they're not critical of that movement, but they would be the first to admit that there were some changes in society, and not least in their home. When suddenly mother and even grandmother began to have a different role than they once had. Maybe it was overdue. That is not the question that we're talking about today. But it had a psychological and spiritual effect upon them. They lived when drugs really began to become a problem. It's not that they had not always been there to some extent, but never had we seen it as we saw it during those days. The voice of authority was broken down. Buildings were burned. There were killings on our campuses. There were demonstrations in the streets of our cities. There was an intense hatred, and some got so worked up that they even left our land and went to Canada and other places. They lost the respect for the highest offices in the land because they felt that they no longer could trust those who were their leaders. Now, it's interesting that these people who today are in their 40s and 50s have become very successful in their professional life. But many of them are still away from the church. Now, does God want those people to be saved? Or did they go once and for all, never to come back to the Heavenly Father again? Had they committed the unpardonable sin? Was there no forgiveness for them? Could they not become great men and women of God and use this past experience, horrible as it might have been in some cases, to warn others about what it is to live without Jesus Christ? Many of those people in their 40s and their 50s are now raising their children. And while they have been successful in life and they have provided for their families well in material gifts, they are not spiritually qualified to introduce their children to a Savior they left 30 years ago. Their children have never heard them pray. Their children have never seen them take out the Bible and read it. Their children watch them every weekend, treat Sunday like Saturday or Friday or any other time. What about them? Does God want them? You bet he does. You bet he does. And so he is saying to his church today, and if some of you may be listening and you're in that age bracket, he is telling it to you through me. Come home. As the prodigal came home, come home. If you will come and repent of your sins and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, you will be restored into the kingdom and he will use you in a mighty way. And for those of us who are in that age bracket, or those of you who are, it's time, and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, it's time for you to put your arms around your peers and say to them, you know, I just want to tell you, we'd love to have you in our church. We'd love to have you hear that message that God has redeemed you in the person of Jesus Christ. Won't you come back? What a mission there is there for the church, my friend, to tell our youth, to be sure, but our youth of days gone by, that even though you drop through the cracks, God has never kept his eyes away from you, and he wants you home again. Let's go a little bit further. What about those youth that we lost in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s? They're my crowd. These people are now somewhere between 70 and 90. They've lived through some rather perilous times. It's been an exciting time, but it has not always been easy. These are the people who lived through the Depression. We began to understand what the value of a dollar really was, and some of us became very materialistic. We vowed that if we ever got out of that depression, we would hold on to those dollars and we'd weigh everything as far as value was concerned in the terms of dollars and cents. Who was successful? The person who had the best financial statement, we thought. It's very characteristic of our age group. Besides that, we lived through two wars. We lived through World War II. And here were men and women who had never been more than 50 miles or 100 miles away from home. And one day they got a letter from the government that they were invited to join the Army, the Navy, the Marines, the Air Force, or whatever it might have been. And soon they found themselves in distant lands, crawling up Italy and France and into Germany, shooting people. That was quite different. They saw themselves on the islands of the Pacific, floating around in the Pacific, because their ships had been sunk. They bore the wounds on their body. And no more had the armistice been signed as far as World War II was concerned than we were back in conflict in Korea, where again thousands and thousands of people died. It isn't that they didn't come home and do some great things, they did. I believe that Tom Brokaw has labeled it right, the greatest generation. Just stop and think of the accomplishments in medicine, science, economics, and you name it, and it's there. They are people who have done a tremendous job in making this an easier place in which to live as far as all of these accomplishments are concerned. Many of them came home and they were our leaders in our communities, in our nation, and in our churches. But there were still some who fell through the cracks. What about them? Would God say, well, they had their chance. Now it's up to us to let them go and focus on some other age group. No, it isn't, my friend. No, it isn't. Many of these people today are old. They live in homes for the aged, some of them. Their health is broken. They are alone, and death stares them in the face. They have been successful in so many things, but their relationship with God is not there. They are prepared for everything but meeting God. We can't afford to lose them. Eternity faces them. And my experience is that they are some of the people who are the easiest to deal with as far as the gospel is concerned. Maybe they wouldn't listen. Maybe they wouldn't take the time when they were in their 40s. Horrible, they're the losers because they have lived a life without Jesus Christ. But we don't want them to live in eternity without Christ. So it is for us to go and to tell them once more, as they need to hear, that message which they heard when they were youth and dropped away from it is still there. There's a real point to which you can appeal. What are we saying? The gospel is for all people. God wants all people to be saved. He has not put an age bracket on it. And so he pleads with us to go to those with whom we best communicate. Maybe it's a grandchild to a grandpa, a grandma saying, "The Lord Jesus loves you." And maybe it's a grandparent talking to the grandchild. But remember this, what God wants is that all people, regardless of age, may be saved. Amen.
I was there to hear your morning cry. I'll be there when you are old. I rejoice the day you were baptized to see your life unfold. I was there when you were but a child with a faith.
Father, we thank you that age means nothing to you, for your invitation continues to extend to all people from the cradle to the grave. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Lord, today we thank you that the Holy Spirit has kept some in that relationship with you. and we pray for those who do not know you, who have turned their backs on you and have walked away, whether it was in their teens, their 20s, their 50s, but they're away. Grant, O Lord, that there may be a burden on the heart of those of us who know you to come to them with the gospel of the Savior. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the light of God's Word will brighten your path through the week to come. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit radio ministry supported by gifts from you, our listening family. Through the decades, we have been blessed by listeners planning ahead to help us financially. Estate gifts now make up a significant part of our yearly income and have helped us offer the gospel message to new areas. Have you considered Christian Crusaders in your estate plan? For more information, contact our office by mail or by phone. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help defray mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 38 years.